broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National emergency.
Regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. Here's a weird one from Loxahatchee, Florida. A 7-year-old boy was playing in his driveway of the family home there when all of a sudden his head began to mysteriously bleed. His parents realized there was a bloody gash on his head. They were poring over a range of speculations. What happened? Did a golf ball strike him from the nearby golf course? Did a bird hit him? I mean, who knew? But they took him to the doctor, and they actually retracted some little stones from his head and then gave him 3 stitches in a little gash. Well, those stones, those little rocks, were taken to the Florida Atlantic University for analysis. And scientific testing reveals that these are of a metallic iron nickel variety. Apparently, yes, these were meteorites that plummeted to Earth from outer space and hit this little boy in the head. They say the odds of this happening are estimated to be greater than 1 billion to 1. How weird is that? Some strange things are happening in the heavens these days. But that's what we like to talk about on this program. Hey, thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer tonight is Mr. Hardwood Forrest Connor. Good evening, Forrest.
Good evening, Joshua. You're hitting the Florida stories right off. What town is that from?
That is from Loxahatchee, Florida.
Loxahatchee. You sure that's how you say it?
I have never even heard of that town before. And I've been all up and down Florida I don't know how many times. And same for you. You've never heard of it either.
I think I've heard of it maybe in passing, but
really?
I never really paid any attention
to it. I don't know. I'm sure it's a Native American name.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
How's your holiday season kicking off, Forrest?
Holiday season is just sort of crazy and crazy as usual.
Yeah.
Just all kinds of just stuff going around the Connor household.
Well, hopefully you don't get what's going around my household. The listeners may be able to hear it. It's been a rough week. Yes, finally, my ridiculous schedule caught up with me. I've got a little cold now. So if I sound a little different or if I sneeze or something like that, you'll know what's going on. And I've got such a busy schedule because I'm going to be heading out of town here soon,
and doing some traveling. So I've been going around, and, you know, another reason it's been kind of a rough week is, you know, I'm like, it's great. I get on the radio and I say, oh, let me tell you about all the amazing stuff I'm doing. I'm traveling and having adventures. But unfortunately, I too am a mere mortal, and I have to put up with some bad stuff once in a while. And, you know, investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop, she loves going to the dentist, for example. Isn't that right, Shelley? We were talking about that.
I do.
I went to the dentist the other day, and I take pretty good care of my teeth, and because I know if I don't now, I'm going to pay for it big time somewhere down the road. So the cleaning's going great, and we're about to wrap up, and they're like, oh, this is good, this is good. And at the very end, the hygienist is like, there's a little, like, pit in the middle of your molar on your upper teeth. And she goes, it's not a cavity or anything. She's like, it's just kind of a pit. I'm going to take a picture of this. I'm like, oh, great. So she takes a picture and she says, well, it looks like there used to be some sealant on there, and the sealant came off. So maybe we just need to put the sealant back on. We'll just ask the dentist, you know. So the dentist comes in, and he sits down. Hey, how's it going, you know? And he starts looking around my mouth, and I literally hear the dentist go, oh, no. Do you know what it does to me when I hear the dentist say that, Forrest?
I can imagine. Probably the same thing to me. Like, well, any doctor in a professional store, anything in a professional setting, and everything's going along, and all of a sudden, oh, no.
I'm like one step away from being anesthetized.
The space shuttle's taking off, and you hear someone
when
say,
I go to the dentist.
Oh, no.
But see, I know his sense of humor.
Oh, that's great quality. This is not Shoulder Shop of Horrors here. I mean,
wait a second. You go to Shelley's dentist.
I do. She referred me to the... He actually is a really good dentist, which is why it's even more chilling, because I trust this man. And when I hear a dentist go, oh, no, he may as well just be saying, you're about to be in an enormous world of pain, and it's going to cost $10,000, right? And so he starts poking around, and I swear to you, the next words out of his mouth were, quote, this is a disaster waiting to happen.
What?
And that's when you say, oh, no.
At this point, I'm pulling my wallet out already. I'm just like, take it. Take whatever you need.
Don't let
Please
it hurt.
Prevent the disaster in my mouth. That is going to happen. And he said that, you know, he was like, no, there's no decay, but there's a pit in this tooth. And he was like, this goes beyond sealant. You know, we're going to have to put some kind of like hardcore. So I have to go back to the dentist for a second appointment. Now, he's going to inject me. Well, he's going to get numb me and everything to really stick something in there because it's getting so close to the nerve. And I was like, as if I don't have enough to do before I head out of town here soon, because, you know, I'm going down to Texas to do Christmas and New Year's with my in-laws, and then I head back to Puerto Rico. And I've had better weeks. Let's put it that way. It could have been a lot worse, though.
It could have been. It could have been the day after Christmas, and you go and find out that you are going to have to assist in your own wisdom tooth extraction with your dentist, who is wearing his World's Greatest Dad t-shirt.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I went when I did.
Me too.
This is being nipped in the bud.
Yes.
But, I go to Texas. And then I'm going to go to Puerto Rico. I've got some expeditions, and then I've got conferences and things I'm doing, one in Idaho and one in upstate New York, and I'm going to be just bouncing around. But we're going to be doing a lot of long-distance speaking of strangers, like we were before when I was in Puerto Rico, out there live in the field. You know, I went to, as a matter of fact, after I went to the dentist, I needed a haircut, and I just found this random salon on the side of the road, and why are you making that face, Shelly? You can see my hair. It's not that bad. And so,
well, it's guys, not that bad.
I mean, your hair, my hair, it's easy. Just go in there and say, I want it cut.
I walk into the salon, and the woman in there is speaking Spanish. She's a Mexican, okay? And so I'm like, oh, well, I can handle this. I've been, you know, I live in Puerto Rico part-time. And so I sit down, and I'm like, yo hablo muy poco, that's kind of how it started. I was like, yo hablo muy poco español, pero aprendiendo rápido. Número uno gordilla, entiendo, you know. And she goes, I speak English too. Oh, well, I'll just take a little trim on the top and
the number one guard on the side.
Squared on the back.
Do a little and a quick cut.
So I'm ready to go back to Puerto Rico, though. I need to get brushed up on my Spanish speaking.
Spanish, or is it more Spanglish down there?
It's a lot of Spanglish, yeah. But we have expeditions in January and February. And then, like I say, I'm going to be gone in, some in March and some in May. I have no idea what my year is going to look like for 2014, other than how it kicks off in the beginning. It's an uncharted future. But, you know, tonight on the program, we're going to catch up on a lot of weird news. We're behind. And I'd like to talk some, hour number two, about the topic of dimensions and portals. Because people throw around this terminology, dimensions and portals, a lot. But what do they really mean? I mean, I'm sure you've probably used the term portal, Shelley.
You more than me.
But what do you think a portal is?
A doorway.
Okay. And Forrest, what do you think a portal is?
I mean, a doorway would be
you just totally rip Shelley off.
No, or doorway, or
I'll share.
Or if you want to get more deep into it, a gate or an entrance to another side.
Well, okay, but what does that really mean?
Well, the classic term of portal is an opening, a doorway.
Well, you could say that this chrysanthemum here is a red, leafy thing. Or you could say, this is an organism that takes root in the soil, that uses photosynthesis.
Or you could say a portal's a doorway, like I said before.
Well, I want to get as technical as possible about really figuring out
what's the context of this portal you're talking about.
Well, paranormal portals. You know, places...
Yeah, paranormal portals, a gateway to another dimension.
And, well, then, what's a dimension?
A different plane of existence.
Well, what's a plane of existence?
We can go on and on.
Yeah.
What? See, I don't have any kids, and you don't have any kids, so we have to do this to each other.
Why?
Yeah.
Why, Daddy? Why?
Why? Well, we're going to talk a little about that because I've teased this some on the show before, but I have a groundbreaking, absolute new approach to how to conduct paranormal research. And I'm not sure if I want to break it tonight on the show, but at least I want to take you one step closer to it. Okay? We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to kick this baby off full force. And, again, this is going to be our last show in the Asheville studio for a while. So we're just going to enjoy ourselves. We're glad to have you along for the ride. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. We talk about the amazing, the extraordinary, the paranormal, the downright weird. Keeping you company tonight, I'm Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange.
I am pure. I don't want no money.
the Blue Ridge Mountains, Asheville, North Carolina, land of the sky. I am your host, the Wizard of Weird, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange. And yes, it is the holiday season, which also means
it's Krampus time,
Krampus! And we're going to get into Krampus a little bit later tonight. As well, everybody loves the Krampus, except for Shelley. I'm getting mixed feelings about Shelley. But we'll talk more about that later, Shelley. You know what, Forrest Connor?
What's that, Mr. Warren?
Next month is going to be the 11-year anniversary of Speaking of Strange.
11 years.
And, you know, I sat down. I always do this when anniversaries come around. I broke out a calculator. And I started, like, looking at all the content that has been given to the world over the past 11 years. And, huh?
Well, let me stop you there. I know where you're going with this. How many new shows do you think we've done this year?
This year?
Counting this show. Out of, let's say, 52 weeks in a year. Of course, we've had some weeks where we've had ball games and
I'll say 40.
40?
Yeah.
Let's try 34.
Okay. So, you know, and we've added 34 new shows to the world. And if you look back over the past 11 years and you start doing math and some calculations, what you realize is that, you know, I personally, in addition to the work I've done on Coast to Coast, now think about it, in addition to the work I've done on Coast to Coast AM, Take a Stand, all this other stuff, you could play Speaking of Strange nonstop, back to back, 24 hours a day, and listen to this show for almost 3 months straight.
Wow. Well, I remember a couple years ago, you said you had a guy that's been started with all the podcasts at the beginning.
Yeah.
And he said, well, Josh, I'm up to the point where you just got married. Congratulations.
Yeah, that was like 7 years ago or something. Well, you know, I want to throw a little plea out there to the world, to all of our listeners, because some of our shows just are lost to the ages. They were not recorded. It's possible they're bouncing around somewhere around Andromeda right now, and that eventually we'll be able to retrieve them in like 4,000 years. They will be able to go back and be like, there was that broadcast that Joshua Warren did, and snatch it and pull it back to Earth. I doubt that's going to happen, but it's possible. However, until we got podcasting and started digitally recording these shows, I would lug big, heavy boombox into the studio every night and put a tape in it. You remember tapes, don't you, Shelley? Little square plastic things. Yeah. And so long ago. For all the kids out there, we used to have a technology. It was kind of like a record, but it was flat. I would put a tape in and record the show on two audio cassette tapes. And so basically, as we're doing the show, I mean, it's just taping the live broadcasts, same as everybody else hears being broadcast. And then I would go home, and because I was always in such a rush, I would just take those tapes out and just toss them into a box. I wouldn't label them or anything.
How much time does it take to take a Sharpie and write a date on something? Maybe a keyword or two.
That's the story of my life, you know. That's why I don't understand how C. Eric Scott, my business partner in the TV industry, is able to keep all the crap organized that he shoots all the time. That would be the hardest thing for me. But anyway, point is, I am now in possession of a cardboard box that is about waist high to me, and it is so packed with audio cassette tapes going all the way up to the rim, I can barely lift it. I mean, I'm serious. I can barely lift it up. And
somewhere out there, maybe there's a person who wants to sit down with this box of gold.
You've never learned.
And actually listen to all these old shows, sort them out, and convert them to a digital format. Because there are gems in there. I mean, I used to interview people all the time, you know, like Edgar Mitchell and Whitley Strieber and, you know, George Norrie, and I can't even remember.
People that are dead now.
Yeah, oh yeah, there are a lot of dead people I've interviewed, yeah.
Of course.
Before and after they died.
Talking about my favorite interview is Prophet Yahweh.
Oh, that was classic. That was classic. That would be one of those types of shows that you would have on the audio cassette tape. So, but the thing is, these tapes, this is the only record of these shows. So if I hand them over to somebody and that person just takes off with them, then we'll just be crushed. We have a suicide pact. We'll all just go jump off a cliff, right? It means that much to us.
Hey, that was before my time, so this is on you guys.
But, you know, seriously, if there's somebody out there who, if you want to do it, if you got to really be a big fan, you got to be somebody we trust. I mean, you're going to want to be able to sit down and listen to the only record of Speaking of Strange shows from eons ago, back when, you know, my voice was like this.
It was before certain parts of my body dropped.
What's that, Shelley?
I was going to say, but you haven't added the two most important words to this.
Oh, okay, what's that?
For free. You're not paying anybody to do this.
That's what fans are for.
Uh-huh.
They do things for free.
They earn spots on this show.
Basically, you're going to get like 5 hours into it, and you're going to be like, screw this guy, I'm done. Let him get his own damn tapes back.
But we also need somebody who's not a Shelley fan, because there's no Shelley on the audio cassette. So what? If you're just doing this to listen to Shelley for years, forget it. You're not. That was before. Like, when we first met you, we were probably already doing podcasts. Do you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, this is truly a pre-Shelley era.
I didn't come along until, what, 2009?
I don't know.
It was 9.
My life is just a big, disturbing blur of disappointment at this point. I don't know.
Let's get back on track here.
Just one string of failures after another. So, okay, well, now that that's out there.
For free.
No, not for free. We'll give you we'll give you recognition. We'll recognize you on the air.
You get props.
We'll thank you. And yes, it's not for free. Not for free.
Well, that's
it's
what historians free. Do. You know, you're actually a historian if you do this.
Yes.
It is not going to put money in your pocket that you can take to the store and buy.
On a resume, say, you know, I digitally converted 5 years of Speaking of Strange from analog to digital, and that can go, that would look great on a resume.
Uh huh.
And then you actually could, in like 20 years, when you get interviewed on the History Channel, have that little title that says, like, Archivist for Speaking of Strange. And who wouldn't want that title in life, huh?
Oh, yeah.
You should do this, Shelley.
Uh-huh.
You should do it.
Uh-huh.
Who should be a bigger fan of the show than you?
Uh-huh.
We just have to teach her how to use a tape recorder.
Push play.
Hit play here, record there.
I think you forget I used to work at a different radio station.
She'll do this for 6 months and be like, oh, that's the erase button?
Well, then, you remember, they get technical with the high-speed dubbing.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. It could be done. We're going to take a break when we come back. You keep hearing stories about how companies like Domino's and Amazon are going to deliver stuff to your house with drones. Well, there's a story about an actual delivery that was just done with a drone and some guys who were going to prison for it. I'll explain when we return. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.
When everyone thought the world was flat, Columbus said it's round. He went down in history and America was found, 'cause he had confidence, a little thing called confidence. There's no job too immense when you've got confidence. With a C and an O and an N and an F and an I and a D and an S. Put them all together and what have you got? Confidence. You'll be surprised what you can do if you will only try. Remember the tortoise and the hare who had that famous race? The speedy hare wound up nowhere and Slowpoke took first place, 'cause he had confidence, a little thing called confidence. There's no job too immense when you've got confidence.
Yeah, welcome back to Speaking of Strange. Yes, this is Elvis. Maybe his less seductive song. Are you an Elvis person, Shelley? Do you like Elvis?
Elvis is fine. He's okay.
They say you're either an Elvis person or a Beatles person. Which would you go for?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know what planet she's from. How about
I mean,
you, Carl?
I like
if
them
I had
both.
To choose, I mean, I'd probably be a Beatles person.
I'm a Beatles guy for sure. Yeah. I have respect, trust me. I respect Elvis. I mean.
Yeah, I do like
he's
both.
The he's the king.
He was the king.
Thank you very much.
You know, I met a guy. Was it this year? I think it was earlier this year. A guy who hung out with Elvis one night. He's from Memphis. I won't use any names here. But he knew some of Elvis's band members. And the guy that I know, we'll call him Nebuchadnezzar. Neb goes out with some of Elvis's band members. And they go to some bars, and they're, you know, it's Memphis. They're hanging out, they're drinking beer, and they show up at Elvis's house, and Elvis invites them in, and they go and they sit down on his couch, and Elvis, who is really, really coked out of his mind and on God knows what kind of drugs at this point, looks at them and says, "Hey, y'all are drunk, aren't you?" And they're like, we're not drunk. I mean, you know, we've had a few drinks. And he's like, "No, you're drunk. I can tell you. Get out!" And Elvis flips out and kicks them out of his house. And they were so pissed because they're like, "Well, you're taking God knows what. You know, who knows what pills you're eating and what." But no, Elvis would not tolerate the fact that these dudes had been out drinking beer. He had just zero tolerance for that. So it's just another one of those quirky Elvis stories. We know quite a few that can't be put on the air, don't we, Forrest?
Oh, yeah.
By the way, if you happen to be listening and you are online, go to speakingofstrange.com for a live chat during the show. You can download our podcast there. You'll find our Facebook link, our Twitter link. And also links to some really cool stuff that is related to this show, like the haunted Asheville, ghost tours and ghost hunts. And even when it's too cold for a ghost tour, that's no problem. We have ghost hunts, nice, toasty, warm places. You can check out all that stuff. HauntedAsheville.com, HauntedAsheville.com. Well, I'm having some conflicts with my cold medicine and Venom, which is what I'm... See, this is what I'm drinking tonight, Shelley. Venom. Energy drink. Mojave Rattler. Now, you know, I don't get paid to do stuff like this, but I'm going to give you my review of Venom. It's thick, it's kind of grapey, and it's not the most pleasant thing I've ever had, I'll tell you that. If they want to advertise, I will tell you different. But for now, Venom. It's a very cool-looking bottle, but it kind of, it doesn't mix well with cold medicine, let's put it that way. Shelley, you know we were talking about fans?
Yes.
Well, there is a big fan of this show who is a big fan of you. He's one of these guys who, I don't want to use his whole name. His name is Jack. And he wrote me an email a while back. And he was like, man, that Shelley Wright's voice. Oh, man, I love it. You know, I sent you that email, or part of that email, did I not?
Very nice, yes.
Yeah. And this guy's really into your voice. But he's obviously into my voice as well. And this fellow is so great that he knew, of course, that we went to Transylvania last year and did our Romanian Dracula trip. And so he stopped by the Asheville Mystery Museum when I wasn't there in the Asheville Masonic Temple, which is where we do a lot of our ghost hunts. And he dropped off a DVD that he made of the Ghost Adventures Transylvania special.
Cool.
Because that was their Halloween special this past October. Ghost Adventures went to Transylvania. Wonder where they got that idea. And so, yeah, Zach and his guys, they went to Romania, and we actually went to most of the places that they went to here. Not all of them. It's amazing to me. I watched this thing, and it's really entertaining. It's really good. It's amazing to me how that Zach becomes so overcome at times by various forces.
But was he strangled? I think not.
Well, I've watched this, and Jack, I want to thank you very much for making this. And it also has the show where they do, like, the best and worst moments or whatever from their 100th anniversary show. So, Shelley, I've watched this, and now I'm going to loan it to you, okay?
Yay! Thank you, Jack.
Yeah. Thank you, Jack. That was cool.
My DVR erased it.
Oh.
And I had it.
Oh, so you did record it.
I did record it, and unfortunately my DVR erased it. So this is fabulous.
All right.
Thank
so you,
Jack.
Haven't seen it yet, huh?
No, I haven't.
Well, see, it was meant for you to watch.
It was.
They did get some really interesting stuff. Okay. I mentioned before the story about drones. You know, you've probably heard the guy who runs Amazon.com is saying that they're putting a plan into place where if you live within 10 miles of an Amazon.com distribution center, a little helicopter will fly to your house and deliver your stuff to you. It's a little electric copter, and it's supposed to be green.
Take up deliver packages up to 5 pounds, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And so, which I'm sure that, you know, in some alternative universe, they're sitting there like, oh, man, robots delivering our goodies to our doorstep, flying through the air. Well, anyway, here's a story from Georgia. A Georgia prison yard recently had a special delivery for inmates when a small helicopter flew over the facility and dropped tobacco products inside the gates. After a lieutenant at the Calhoun State Prison noticed the unauthorized aerial vehicle, authorities immediately began canvassing the area, and after a suspicious black car was found nearby, a search was conducted. 2 pounds of tobacco was found inside. The sheriff says, quote, after we gained consent to search the car, we found the helicopter, and I don't know exactly how much it was, but probably at least 1 or 2 pounds, blah, blah, blah. And it says 4 individuals were apprehended for the crime, and they could face up to 20 years in prison for attempting to deliver this contraband. And sheriff says, quote, everybody had several cell phones with different contacts. It's a great surprise. I've never seen a helicopter. They were in the woods flying it. They had binoculars so they could watch it, end quote. So if we've gotten to the point where these little aerial. I mean, we've all had remote control helicopters and right. airplanes, but they're getting big enough to haul stuff now, and simple enough to control when they're hauling stuff. If they can go in and drop, you know, a few pounds of tobacco, why not just drop some guns down there?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to give out any ideas, but instead of, you know, supplying tobacco for the prisoners, how long is it going to be?
Why not coordinate a big, like, prison riot and fly in the guns and weapons and all this stuff at the same time this riot happens?
And really, you know, it's kind of weird because when you think of all these movies that have been made about people breaking out of prison or whatever, it's kind of weird that nobody's ever done a scene where just a helicopter flies over a prison and just drops all the supplies for a breakout, huh?
I think there was a scene, it's an older movie. Do you remember the movie Toy Soldiers?
I don't know. I remember the movie, but I don't think I ever watched it.
Late 80s, early 90s, I believe. I think there was a scene where actually one of the students was using a helicopter and was able to do something along those lines.
Really?
A drone and deliver something to someone to help the good guys win.
Hmm. Well, I mean, you'd think it would happen more often, huh? I mean, think how easy it would be to take a balloon or something like that and, you know, just let it drift over and drop some stuff. But maybe, I mean, the idea of drones flying around seems a little creepy, but what if you did have just a big balloon that would drop things off outside your house? Would that be more acceptable? Maybe it's on a track line. It's like a zip line, and the balloon goes from the Amazon place to your house. I mean, we've already got power lines everywhere. We already have roads everywhere. Why not add, well, we don't even need the balloon if we have zip lines.
Exactly.
Let's just have a whole Amazon.com grid of zip lines across the country.
How about pneumatic tubes?
That's the wave of the future. Brilliant. I'm going to go to Amazon tomorrow and I'm going to say, guys, we're going to create a grid of cables that crisscross the United States of America and all lead straight to the Amazon headquarters. You put it on a ring, you stick it on the cable, and you just slide it down there. Who needs drones? I am so smart. It's scary sometimes. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, listen to this. Mexican government releases proof of ETs and ancient space travel. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.
They only come a tan about twice a year. You buy 100 pounds of yeast, that's a copper line.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please.
Your attention, please.
Your attention, please.
And now the moment we've been waiting for is here.
Now listen to me, all of you.
Hey, set off, set off.
final minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren, your host. Next hour, we're going to talk a little bit about portals and dimensions. We're even going to get into Krampus. How does Krampus tie in? Eh, to me, it's not a stretch. So stick around for all that. I am just not certain when our next new Speaking of Strange is going to be because of the holidays and ball games and my travel schedule, and it's kind of chaotic. So we're gonna, you know, we're gonna pretend like, hey, maybe this will end up being our last show before Christmas. I don't know. But welcome back here. And, you know, we were talking before the break about Amazon and Domino's using drones to deliver everything from books to pizzas, you name it. Well, here's a story about some suspected drug dealers who got high, really high. U.S. Customs and Border Protection found more than 260 pounds of marijuana bundled tightly together in San Diego last Monday, and arrested two men who allegedly showed up to claim the prize. Officials say an ultralight aircraft coming from Mexico dropped the massive payload, which was tied to a large metal cage and parachute used to hold cargo. They say it was about 10 heavy bundles that they dropped. Street value of this ganja, $157,000. Man, it's a lot of money for weeds, just bundles of weeds, isn't it, Forrest?
It is.
So, yeah, there are people are, you know, we're kind of shifting toward the Jetsons age a little bit when we're going to have more and more activity happening from above.
Above terra firma.
Yeah. That's the future. That's where it's all leading. And, you know, people are always saying, when is the flying car going to be here?
It's here.
Exactly. It's here. Airplanes have been around for 110 years now. But I don't have one. You don't have one. It's not about technology. It's about wealth. It's about having the money to own this crap when it comes out.
Right.
Speaking of Mexico, headline, Mexican government releases proof of ETs and ancient space travel. Newly released Mayan documents, that is, artifacts, dating back at least 1,300 years, reveal that the human race is not alone, and highly advanced technologies, including space travel, have likely existed for quite some time. Not only does this documentation released by the Mexican government show the existence of an explorer race, it may also reveal the roots of mankind. There is a Sundance film winner, Juan Carlos Rulfo, who has done a new program in which he worked with the Mexican government to release this information, quote, for the good of mankind. He says this is going to continue. Mexico is going to release codices, artifacts, and significant documents with evidence of Mayan and extraterrestrial contact. And all their information will be corroborated by archaeologists. The Mexican government is not making this statement on their own. Everything we say, we're going to back it up, end quote. And so they say that they have proof here that the landing pads in the jungle there are 3,000 years old and were being used as landing pads, and that all these years, since solid proof has come forth, they say at least 80 years now, the Mexican government has protected their proof of this evidence.
I know Jaime Maussan has to be involved in that somehow. With that, is he mentioned in there?
His name does not pop up anywhere in here. And, you know, honestly, I think a lot of people are suspicious of Jaime Maussan because he's been so involved with so many sensational stories.
Right.
But, I mean, this guy, he's saying that the Mexicans believe that they have got the undeniable proof, and they're going to release it now. So I hope we get to see something really cool soon, huh? It's in the documentary. There is a lot of weird stuff that happens in Mexico. There's no doubt about it.
You've got briefly, you've got the flying people, you've got the,
exactly, the humanoids. Okay, we're up on a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little about portals, about dimensions, about the Krampus, and also plenty of weird news. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.